Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Welcome to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Budig.
And I'm Greg Rickhart.
Does that make you laugh? Makes me laugh. Greg.
Go on,
He's
go
tired
on.
Tired today. We'll I'm give him tired. Some grace. Our guest today is someone I work with on The Bold and Beautiful. He also happens to be one of people's 50 most beautiful people in the world. The first daytime actor, I think, to ever get that recognition.
Correct.
And he'd probably like to go around and talk about that. No, I'm kidding.
He's also been on the cover of Playgirl magazine twice. Not that I've looked at it today.
Did you look at it today? Oh my gosh. Well, it's, you know, listen, he's been a leading man in daytime for over 40 years.
So much more than a good looking man.
He is.
He's a great actor.
He's
one of the
book.
Kindest, most lovely men that...
We're talking about Don Diamant from The Bold and the Beautiful, and I can't wait to have
what? Do you work with him much?
I've been in group scenes with him. He loves to joke around. Mm-hmm. He is always a very happy, positive presence at work. I had no idea that he had written a book. We're going to talk about it. I mean, he wrote it in 2018, but it's really, it's just endearing and amazing, and he's a super, super great guy.
He's a great guy. It's going to be a great interview, and we'll be right back with Don Diamant.
Don Diamant, welcome to Soapy.
Finally. Going through the list, you're like, oh, God, we've got to use
him. The bottom of the barrel.
There's nothing left.
This is the bottom of the barrel.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
But let me tell you, okay, I was telling Don this before we started. We've worked together for, I've been there almost 2 years, which is kind of crazy. But
have you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that?
Right?
Just I know. I don't work that
crew,
much.
Crew, I didn't realize crew. I call him rookie and he's like,
been there almost
I'm like,
2 years.
Yeah.
We started kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
Crew Morrow, who plays your son on the show, on The Bold and Beautiful. And anyway, here I am doing research. Turns out Don wrote a book. And I did not know this.
Applause? Applause.
I'm like, applause? I mean, by the way, it is a feat to write a book.
The worst experience of my life.
Well, wait, let me tell you something, Don. What I love about this book, maybe it's because I know you, but... he didn't have a ghostwriter. This is Don.
Let me tell you, this
is in your voice.
Let me tell you the story.
This is exactly the way
that.
You talk. I can hear you saying it. I'm like, this is Don.
Do you want the story? The story is I had no interest in writing a book, never even a thought in my mind. Went to a dinner party. I ended up at the dinner party seated next to this wonderful woman, Jan Miller. She's the literary agent's literary agent. And we're just talking. And then we're talking about life. And then she said, you have to write a book. I said, I am the last person, ADD, I'm the last person to be that's going to write a book. Anyway, I'm going to make a long story very short. Cindy
the
wanted
ADD
me to-
is in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go on a tangent. You go, anyway, back to the story. I'm like, that's done.
Right. So Cindy really wanted me to do it, thought I should do it. So, okay, fine. I'll do it. The ghostwriter. I talked to for hours, days on end. He interviews my wife, my children, ex-girlfriends, people I work. He interviews everybody, and I spend personally so many hours with him. And I think then he's going to write the book, and it's going to sound like me, and this will be great. I'm not sitting there myself writing or dictating. So I get the first draft, the manuscript. Thank you. I get the manuscript. And I start reading it. I'm like, could I have wasted more time?
Oh, no.
It wouldn't sound like me at all. God bless this guy. He did, you know, he obviously.
Can we get a name on this guy?
No, we cannot. I don't even remember, honestly, to tell you the truth. But I read it. And I'm like, this is not my voice. This is not my sense of humor. This is not my heart. This is just not me. And I was astounded, honestly. And I called the agent. And I said, listen, we're going to have to delay this thing a year. I'm going to have to write it.
Wow.
And that's, and then I left the foreword is not super on point.
He said, but, who wrote the foreword? That's funny. He goes, who wrote the foreword? I go, he did.
Well, I tried to find it on, it's not on Audible. You should do an audiobook.
That's a whole, yeah. I mean, it became a time crunch issue. And I was very.
Did you have to pay the ghostwriter for all that he did?
Yeah, well, he got paid.
He got paid.
Whatever he had to get. But yeah. That again, was that. And I literally sat there. I sat there with the phone and talked into my phone because I can't type.
Yeah.
So I did the whole thing from the chapters are all me. And
well, yeah.
It was really, really difficult. The time it takes, you also are going back into your life in such minute detail and reliving the hardest times and all some of the best times, but going through the hard stuff, my dad I start talking about every time.
Listen, your dad getting sick,
and my brother getting sick.
Let me tell you, you really feel the relationship between you and your dad leading up to his death. And like, so I was like crying. I mean, yeah. I mean, I lost my father too, but you were so young and you just seemed to have like this incredible relationship. He was like your best friend.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And then my brother got sick right after my dad.
Right after your dad.
And that was the whole male side of my family. So it was a very difficult time. And with regard to the book, yeah, it's really hard in the book to go through the details.
But I love some of the lessons that your parents instilled in you. One of which was your dad was like, you got to work. Don't let your, you know, personal life affect your professionalism. I grew up like that. I mean, I saw you. You were one of the first people I saw after I found out my dad died and I at the Bold and the Beautiful. Yeah. And I was working that day and people were like, how are you working? I'm like, I mean, I'm just going to get through work. And I'm going to go home and then I'm going to have my time.
Fall
so
apart. Yeah.
Anyway, you were on YNR at the time through all of these struggles. And
they were great. Ed Scott was especially amazing. He knew my dad and he knew, you know, my brother, and my family. And he was great. I mean, I only needed things if they could just arrange the schedule. So like if I needed to get my dad to radiation or, you know, to a doctor's appointment, if my mom, you know, whatever, so that would be worked out. And they were really, he was really in particular great.
Well, the other thing I love about this book that I didn't know about you, Don, is that you are like, you manifest shit. You are like just positive thinking, forward moving, manifesting things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
from the beginning, right? Because you knew you didn't want to be behind a desk.
Right.
And you decided you were going to be a model.
Okay. Yeah. Wait. Do you think of yourself that way as being a manifester?
Well, I didn't initially think of myself in those terms, but as life went on, I realized how much visualizing that I would do. And sure enough, a lot of those things.
Was it in writing this book that you realized? Wow.
No, well before.
Okay.
Well before that.
You would wanted things. How would you do it? You wanted things. You would visualize it. You would
assume
it's going to happen. You're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. You know, see it. Take the steps necessary to get to it. Listen to when you come to those forks in the road. Listen to whatever that is for people. The angels listen to whatever is guiding you. Mm-hmm. You know, listen to it. And if you see it and you're clear about it and you work for it, you take the steps necessary, it can happen. It oftentimes does happen.
Yeah. There's an element of, well, like you said, if you want to call it magic or spirituality or whatever it is you believe in. And would you mind sharing, and I hate to delve into the harder stuff, but Rebecca was sharing with me what you were manifesting when your brother was sick and the people he wanted to meet and how all of those things just happened.
Yeah, that's probably when it really did more than my career and the conversation I had with my dad in high school. But that was extraordinary. I used to go to, my brother would like to gamble. And we would often be invited, or he would be invited to whatever events were taking place in Vegas. And the fights were a big part of that. And we would go to Vegas to the fights quite often, Sugar Ray Leonard's in particular. And when he was sick, he was in the hospital, he was having a treatment. We had gone, during the course of his illness, we had gone to Vegas for the Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns fight. And we were supposed to meet Ray after the fight, but he ended up not going to this after party. He was not feeling great. and that was kind of a bummer. And that was really a drag. So I don't remember exactly how long after that, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, five, you know, a month or so. And I was at work. I go from work to the gym, and I'm in the gym. At that time, it was called Sports Club LA. And I'm just really rushing. I want to get a quick workout and take a shower, go to my brother, and who's having this experimental procedure done at St. John's Hospital. And I am rushing out of the gym, and I pass this black guy. I'm like, well, he looked awfully familiar. And I'm like, that was Ray. And I turn around, I stop. I'm like, what the hell? Why not? I walk up to him. I said, listen, Ray, my name is Don Diamant. I'm on the Young and the Restless. I described what my brother has been going through. I said, we were just at your fight and we're going to meet you after the fight. And my brother is not well. Is there any chance you would come with me and to see him at St. John's? He's like, give me a second. And he goes out to talk to his wife. He goes out to Bernadette. Bernadette knew who I was. And I come out of the locker room and he's with Bernadette. And I come out. He's like, let's go. Sure, Ray Leonard.
I mean, it's so crazy. He got in the car with you.
Got in the car with me. And I had really been thinking a lot about how can I get to Sugar leading up to this? How do I get to him? Who do I know? How can I get to him? And then he's
in your car. Know,
sits in my lap. And then he's in my car. And we drive to St. John's. And my brother had this treatment. So he had this lead hat on, basically, because he'd had a few holes drilled in his head. And they dropped radioactive seeds through these catheters directly into the tumor in the hopes of shrinking it. Right. So we go in, we knock on the door. I'm like, Jack, you got to wake up. He's like, what's going on? I said, I have somebody here to see you. Now, keep in mind, by the way, Ray had to put on the full lead vest, the whole lead head to toe thing. Yeah, the whole bit. So not only that, I didn't realize that when we got there. I said, hey, Ray,
you may be exposed to radiation.
A little radiation, you'll be all right. So it's fine. Don't worry about it. He does it. Great. It's just good sense of you. And we go in and I get to the edge of his bed. There's somebody here to see you. He said, what are you talking about? I said, all right, what was the last trip we did that we took before this procedure? Vegas. I said, well, why do we go to Vegas? We go to the fight. Okay. Who was fighting? Sugar Ray was fighting Tommy Hearns. Right. Who's standing at the foot of your bed? He's like, what the?
Right. You can say it.
What the fuck? What are you talking about? And then we get the light. He opens. He just gets focused. And he's like, I saw you at the end of the bed. I thought you were one of the orderlies.
Well, I mean, who would think that Sugar...
I'm like,
I'm sure
what
with all the gear on,
I'm
too,
like, yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah,
he yes.
couldn't really recognize.
Helmet, yes.
I would have thought did the procedure not go well? Like, is this the afterlife?
What did you just say? And Ray starts laughing. I mean, belly laughing. Could not have been... And I took no offense and could not have been nicer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my brother in his satchel, in this little sack he had next to his bed, we had the pictures from that we took from the fight. Wow. We start showing them to Ray. So that was crazy.
That is crazy.
Then Mickey Mantle, he was a huge Mickey Mantle fan. And I went to great lengths to try to get to Mickey Mantle. And, you know, I was willing to pay an appearance fee, whatever it took to get to him. But I was just running up against, you know, brick walls. And I am leaving for work. I hear my phone ringing. I just left the house. I hear the phone ringing. I'm like, I go back in. I answer the phone. And it was my agent at the time who said, I just saw that Mickey Mantle is going to be on, at that time, Pat Sajak was doing whatever it was called.
The Pat Sajak show, I think. The Late Show, or Pat Sajak, whatever it was,
on CBS. And I'm like, what? Tonight? He will be there tonight. And he called Vic something or other, the talent coordinator, explained the situation.
Because that show shot in the same building as The Young and the Restless.
Sorry, I left that shot at CBS, in Television City.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. So it is arranged. We go into the green. We get there. I need you to come to see. I'm like, okay, I need you to come to the studio today. What for? I can't tell you, but you'll be glad you came. And he was on steroids at that point. He didn't any look. Yeah. My brother was a very handsome, kind of strapping dude. And, you know, his hair was gone. I put tons of weight on from the steroids. And he didn't look like himself. And he didn't feel great. But he came. And we're in the waiting room, in the green room. And he's sitting right next to me. And I didn't want him to know anything until Mickey came in the green room. But somebody said, Mantle's in the building. And he, that's all he had to hear. Makes me really emotional to talk about it. And he looks at me. He said, Mantle? Mickey Mantle here? Am I going to meet Mickey Mantle? This was his idol as a kid growing up. And we grew up in New York. And he grew up in New York. And I said, yeah, Jack, you're going to meet Mickey Mantle. And he just... starts crying, and Mickey comes in. Could not have been kinder. Could not have been better. It was amazing. If I knew you were going to, I would have brought the pictures. But well, that was extraordinary. So that happened. Like I said, I was really going to efforts to for him to meet Mantle. And then the last thing was during the course of his illness. How long is this show? You asked during the course of his illness. He had come with me. He used to come with me to my autograph appearances a lot. We used to do those a lot.
I know.
Back in the day. And as you know. And he went to D.C. with me. And we were coming back. This is before he was sick. And we were, he was saying that, you know, the one thing I wanted to do that I've never done is the whole D.C. experience. And I started arranging that. So I made all these plans, including getting into the White House, and we were supposed to meet with President Bush. Whatever happened with that, that couldn't happen. That was arranged, but then he had to, you know, something more important came up. And, but we were brought out on the lawn for the helicopter for him to come out, and we see him come out of the White House and get in the helicopter.
It's
and that was
cool.
All very cool, but not quite enough. So then I'm like, he's got to meet Reagan because he was, you know, at the time, the rock star president.
Yeah.
And Bush was like,
yeah. Yeah, I know.
Reagan was the guy.
We were around in the 80s. We know.
Yeah. So I call his office and I explained to the woman who answered the phone what the situation was. She was very kind, very sweet. I'm so sorry, but you have to understand that we get these kind of requests, thousands. And, you know, there's really nothing I can do. Like, but I'm on The Young and the Restless.
Didn't get you far.
So,
did you say you're on the cover of Playgirl? Was it Playgirl?
Twice.
You didn't tell her that?
Twice. Not even that worked. Not even that. Autographed?
I'll
sign it.
One of People Magazine's most beautiful. No? Hello?
I'll sign that. Didn't work. None of it worked.
Damn it. Useless. So I hang up with her. 5 minutes later, the phone rings. Hi, Don. This is Mark Weinberg, President Reagan's press secretary. How can I help you? I said, Mark, said, why are you calling me? He said, well, I was walking by the reception desk and I saw your name jotted down on a pad and your number. And I had done the, I used to do the Hollywood All-Star softball team. And we would play professional football teams for charity in major league, in stadium.
Wow. You know?
So we were, I was supposed to go to DC to play these former Redskins and RFK Stadium, blah, 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 the year before. And then I think because of the show, I ended up not being able to get there. And, but Mark had done all the clearances because we're going to have lunch at the White House.
Yeah.
And Mark had done the clearances. And he remembered my name and saw it jotted down.
It's crazy. It's so crazy.
And I explained the situation. He said, all right, can you be here tomorrow? I'm like, we'll be there. And I brought my, you know, my mom, my sister, my niece at the time, and of course, my brother. And it was extraordinary. So and the cool. politics aside, whatever you're into, you know, your politics are, President Reagan could not have been more genuine, more welcoming, and kinder. Walked my brother around. It wasn't like, okay, let me take the picture and, you know, a couple minutes and shake your hand and good luck to you. It was amazing. And at one point, my brother said, I gotta give you a hug. And he grabs, and the Secret Service is there. And he just grabs Reagan to give him this big hug. And Reagan's like, no, it's okay. And the guy's like moving. And he's like, Reagan's like, no, it's okay, no problem. And he's hugging my brother. And he said, you're going to beat this thing. You're going to beat this. And it was so sweet. And walked him through the office and showed him all of his memorabilia. And just, it was so kind. So that was, and then I came back for my brother's 40th birthday and I videotaped President Reagan wishing him a happy birthday. So it was pretty extraordinary. And that's when I, probably when I really, really absolutely believed. If you see it, if it's genuine, if it's, you know, you want to make something happen, maybe,
you know, but you can make it happen. But you started out.
I also got my dad in to watch with Magic to watch the Lakers.
Oh, that's play right. And you played one on one with Magic Johnson.
With Magic, my dad could watch because basketball was my passion. And Magic was kind enough to, and Byron Scott, who's a dear friend, he's still a dear friend, and made that happen. So anyway,
amazing.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, can we talk about your career a little bit, please?
If you want to. Go ahead.
Well, okay, Craig? I don't know. I got less to say. I got less to ask. Well, let's go back to walk us through how your modeling days turned into the beginning of your acting career. And
you know, when I put it in the book, how can I write this? It sounds stupid, or it sounds arrogant and stupid, or it sounds, you know, I was. I was just really, particularly my senior year, ADD was not a thing.
Yeah.
It was not a diagnosable thing back in 1912.
Right.
So,
nice try.
Yeah. So I would, you know, studying for me was I would have the best intentions to sit down, get focused and get my stuff done. And it required so much brain energy for me to focus on the work that absorbing material, there wasn't a lot of space for it. And it was created a lot of challenges for me academically through high school. And, you know, I just really wanted to be finished. And I also just had a sense of how people responded to me. My teachers, my friend, my, you know, teammates.
Yeah.
And so my dad sits me down and said, you know, what are you going to do? You don't want to go to college? What are you going to do? And I said, I don't know, Dad, but I'm not meant to sit behind a desk. And I said, you know, people respond to me. I couldn't really even quite describe it. But I said, there's something different. Something I don't know exactly.
There is something different about something.
Oh, you're different.
I mean to tell you.
You're something different. And I just had this sense of it. And then sure enough, you know, I was working at a gym. I was training, you know, trainer at a Nautilus, which was a big thing at the Nautilus was a thing, you know, at the time.
Where was that?
Encino. LA. Encino. Yeah, the Nautilus in Town and Country Mall in Encino. Okay. And so, yeah, then a modeling agent sees me wherever, you know, I don't remember where that took place. And the first time it happened, I just kind of blew it off. And then it happened again. I said, okay, well, maybe this is that, this is what, you know, this is that thing.
So there was no, like having that job, there was no ulterior motive to be like, hey, this could be a place where I might, okay.
No, nope.
Because it does, that is a good spot to, for that sort of discovery to happen.
100%. No, nope. And I ended up, you know, again, we'll shorten it up. I ended up with signing with Elite and they sent me to New York. And Ford agency sent me to Paris and stayed Milan. There for a few months. Huh?
Paris, Milan.
Yeah, Milan. Although I was in Milan for a day, and that's when I, in the model hotel. And that's when I decided.
Can't do it.
I don't want to, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But what I like, what I love about, well, I mean, I don't know if it's in the book, and I don't know if it's the right perception that I have, but that you, when you decided to come home, you weren't particularly concerned about what you were going to do. You knew you were going to do something, weren't like super concerned. And then you met this agent, you got a commercial and that, right? Is that right?
Well, then I came home and I wasn't clear about, but I wasn't super worried about it. Cause I always had faith, same thing to my kids. Keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. And that's what I love about you. When something presents
itself, honor that.
Yeah.
And pursue that and move through that.
Yep.
So I said, this is just not meant to be. This is not what I want to do. It's not this. And it's something, but it's not this. And I go home and I'm home for a couple of weeks and I'm outside shooting baskets from my house. I'm 19. And my mom says, hey, calls me. Somebody just called the house. It's on the phone. His name is Tom Hahn. And Mary Webb Davis, he wants to talk to you. He's a modeling agent. Like, huh, interesting. Run in the house, get on the phone. Hey, Don, it's Tom Hahn, your agent in Paris. I had no knowledge of it. Your agent in Paris sent us your Zed card, your modeling card, all the different pictures for those that don't know what a Zed card is, because they don't exist anymore. And I think you can work a lot here. Would you mind coming in and talking to us? I said, sure. Come in. He signs me. They put me right to work. That leads to a couple of years I'm modeling in LA. So that was fine. The modeling was fine. As long as I'm home, in LA, that's fine. No problem. So it's great. In fact, I mean, you're getting $125 an hour to have your picture taken. There's worse ways.
When you're
ways.
Like 20
years old. Yes. When you're 19, 20 years old. So there's worse ways to make a living. So an agent, theatrical agent, ends up coming into my print agency to have lunch with Tom, my print agent. And before that, he had seen my picture on the wall. And he said, tell me about this guy. And they said, big personality, maybe a little arrogant.
No.
Maybe a little arrogant. Big personality. You? Yeah. No. And he said, well, good. You know, you need some confidence if you're going to make it in this business. I'd like to meet him. I happened to come walking in when they were leaving. This is the guy I was just talking to. Right? You know, here it is. And he said, hey, I'm Sid Craig. I'm a theatrical agent. I'd like to talk to you. I said, all right, I'll talk to anybody. And we had a meeting in his office. It's in the book, but a person I was seeing at the time thought that I should pursue acting. And it wasn't like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be an actor. I was like, I don't know. But, all right, and she had a relationship here. All somebody right. She knew had a relationship with Nina Foch, and Nina Foch at the time, do you know Nina? Do you know that name?
I know she's the name.
She was the art dealer in American in Paris. She was Moses' mother in the Ten Commandments. Yeah. She had done a lot of work in the business, and at the time, she was kind of the preeminent acting coach.
Got it.
In the city. So I meet with Nina. She was tough. Kind of like Barbara Stanwyck-ish.
Yeah.
You know, just tough. Mm-hmm. And she gave me every reason why I should not be in the business. She said, but athletes tend to take direction well. So here, learn this monologue, come back and do it for me.
Do you still know the monologue?
No. No. And I'm like, what? Okay, so I learned this and I interpret it the best that I can interpret it. I come back and I do it for her. And she ends up putting me not in her beginner class. And as far as I'm concerned, I should have been in her the beginner class. Mm-hmm. And she puts me into her, I don't know if it was called the master class or time, but you know, it was the advanced, whatever it was. And there are people in there, including Tova Felcher, who, you don't know who that is?
She was
an actress of note at the time.
Okay.
And I'm like, whoa. Anyway, okay. There were people in there whom, like, okay, I know who these people are.
Yeah.
And I end up doing one scene, one monologue, the same one I did in that class, which was terrifying. And I had to do one scene. And I worked with this woman who had done a lot of work on Broadway. And so I meet with Sid. I'm telling you why I'm telling you that. So I had done one scene and one monologue. And Sid wanted me to come back and do a scene for him in his office. So I call this woman. I said, hey, will you mind coming and doing this audition scene with me for this agent? And she's like, sure, of course. Came back to his office, did the scene. He signed me. I got 3 weeks later, I was booked on Go for the Gold, which is in the book, I believe, film with Jackie Cooper directing the film.
Yes.
And Bruce Stern and Catherine Ross were the adult leads. And I was the male
Didn't
lead.
Didn't you only work one day?
No. You ever watch, you know the scene, you watch Friends?
Yes.
When Joey goes to Vegas in the cab and he gets there and it's his big break. And as he rolls in, it's gone. They shut it down. We're done. We're not shooting. There's no money. It's finished.
That's exactly what happened to you.
Yeah. My mom comes. She's a big Jackie Cooper fan. My first day shooting. We shoot the scene. She meets Jackie. I have all these pictures of it, thank God. And meets Jackie the next day. Shut down. This guy had created all of these false financials for SAG. And boom.
But
we're done.
Then,
we're shut down.
But then you went on to Days of Our Lives. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your soap opera career, because that was basically the beginning of the rest of your life.
Yeah,
really?
You could say that.
Right? I mean, because you stayed in daytime for the whole...
Idiots.
Except for you did do a circus show.
Wait, which she's very jealous of, because you know she wanted to be a clown.
She is a clown.
She wanted to
look,
be a
look at her nose.
I was about to say a professional
clown. Look how red it's getting.
Is it red?
No.
Oh my God.
I'm totally teasing.
And it honks, actually, if you squeeze it. So you do like a year on Days of Our Lives? How long was that?
I was fired and voted best newcomer in the same week.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. An auspicious beginning. And yeah, it was, again, it's all, you should have probably already, I don't know if you got to that point.
I did.
Yeah, that
I'm beyond
was,
that. I'm beyond that.
Yeah,
well
that was, I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but.
Well, did that whet your appetite for
I'll tell
shows?
You what, okay.
Did it make
getting
you
back
wanna...
to your manifesting thing.
Yeah.
All of these things were, yes, this is exactly as it's supposed to happen. This is what I talked to my dad about. This is this. And this Days of Our Lives experience at the time was, and this was from my agent, Doris Saba, if I'm remembering her name right, and I think I am, was the casting director. And they'd gone through 200 people or 2,000 or whatever it was. They couldn't find the guy to play this part, Carlo Forenza. I end up getting it, the screen test and the whole bit. So my first day, so Al Rabin wanted to, the executive producer at the time, wanted to sit down and talk to me before I started shooting. So great. Now I am beyond wet behind the ears. I am beyond,
green,
right?
Green.
Beyond green. And in our conversation, I asked him about publicity. That didn't really sit well with him that I was, and I thought, you're the executive producer. You're the person to ask. I probably should have talked to my agent before then about it, but I didn't. So he said, how about we just learn what we're doing here first, and then we'll worry about, and then you can worry about that. So I think that kind of rubbed him the wrong way.
Yeah.
Understandably, fair enough. And my first day on the set was my character being introduced at a party scene. So all the stars of the show were on the set, and I was very nervous. And I walk in, and I say whatever my lines are, and they stop tape. And Al comes out of the booth onto the set, calls me off the set about as the set is where you're sitting now, right? Okay. You are just off the set. And I will never forget it. He said, I can take an actor who's nervous. I can't take an actor without energy. Get it together.
Oof.
Now, that's really helpful to a young guy. Very helpful. Out. Yeah. You really want to deliver that.
Well, the problem is whatever he felt about me at that point, he was now persona non grata. I didn't give a shit that he was the executive producer at that point.
So
you're
impressed.
A bad coach.
Yeah, I was so impressed. What,
and that's why I related it to sports. And you
so
are a bad coach.
I was impressed by that because I don't know. I always wanted to like deliver. I would have been shaking in my boots. But you were like,
it's hard,
it made me angry. He intentionally embarrassed me in front. And I think that was what his intention was, embarrass me in front of all of these veteran stars of the show. And that made me angry. Yeah. And I'm like, so that was kind of the, our relationship from that point on.
For the
I didn't care what he had
there.
To say. Yeah. I didn't care what he had to say. And
did you ever, and we can move on from that experience, but did you ever cross paths with him again following your time there?
No. I mean, I met Gloria Loring there and Gloria and I got involved and that was actually a really positive, wonderful thing to come out of.
I don't want to talk about that because it's not really part of your career, but you're with this woman who had children and you were like 22 or 23.
Yeah.
And I'm astounded by that you would step into that role as a father at that age. You're so young, you're a baby yourself.
I was, but I had a really good dad.
You had a great dad, it sounded like.
So, and I really like kids.
I know.
So it wasn't entirely, it wasn't really uncomfortable for me. And I was there for them, Robin Thicke. And I was there for them at a time.
And his brother, Brennan.
And Brennan, yeah. Mm-hmm. And at a time in their dad's career where that-
Growing Pains.
Had kind of really,
right?
Yeah.
Alan Thicke, yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. And that show kind of took off. And Gloria and Al were now separated, and he wasn't as present in their lives at that. No slight to him; it was just the nature of
his
of
job.
What was going on at that time, and so I was there for them as though I was like 22, still there for them as a positive male role model.
Yeah.
In their lives. And the craziest thing about this is, just not that long ago, a friend of mine calls me and said, hey, I was listening to Howard Stern and Robin Thicke was on there and he started talking about you. I said, what? He said, yeah, he talked about exactly what I just said, how you were really there and he played basketball with him and you just were really present in his life at a time when he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really impactful for him. I said, you're kidding me. I mean, I wouldn't think that maybe he would even remember,
right.
It was around a couple of years, but nonetheless, I had no idea. And what happens? 2 weeks later or something, or at Nobu in Malibu, Robin is there.
So crazy.
And I had a couple of my kids with me and Cindy, of course, Cindy was there. And I said, now, Daddy, go say hi to him. Yeah, why not? I walk up, said, hey, Robin. And before I could even get it out, he's like, Donald.
Aww.
And he throws his arms around me and we just caught up. And it was crazy. I had no idea. I mean, really, I'm not just saying it. I had no idea that it had been that my presence in his life at that time had been that.
I love you. You talked about the story that he told, that you took him to Baskin Robbins and you'd gone there as a kid too. Anyway, some woman screams, someone
took
stole my purse.
Yeah,
and you dropped your ice cream, ran, took the guy down and had him in a chokehold.
That's a true story.
To hold him for the police. And Robin was like, oh my God, he's Superman. Like a superhero.
Yeah. And Robin told that story right, to my kids.
Yes. That's
and right. They go, wow, dad wasn't bullshit.
Actually dad wasn't actually yeah. making that up.
And Robin's like, oh, this guy is like Superman.
So it was crazy.
It was crazy.
That's so funny. Anyway, it says a lot about you to be able to step into that and.
Well, it also makes me think of like how many people you've had influence over that don't have the soapbox to go on to Howard Stern and talk about it. So I bet that.
Yeah.
I bet that feels good.
Yeah, it does.
A lot of kids on the show too. Yeah. And your sister's kid, right? Didn't you?
Drew, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister passed, and we brought Drew into our very full house of six boys, and then it was seven boys, and eight boys for my poor wife, including me, as she liked to say, the ringleader, the worst, the biggest child in the house.
Okay, so you end up at the Young and the Restless, and you auditioned for that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You said there was a bunch, you were...
Yeah, Bill Bell
yeah.
had seen me on days unbeknownst to me. And he called my agent, asked me to come in and test.
And then the rest is history.
The rest is history. Let me give credit where credit is due. I was really blessed that one, Al Rabin, that oil and water, right? That did not work well.
Right.
But I also took my ownership of that as well. And I did need to learn what I was doing. And it's not just, okay, of course this is happening. And let me just, you know, acting is just, it's easy.
Yeah.
And that experience certainly made me take it more seriously.
Yep.
And I worked on the craft in that time between, during days as well. And I had the benefit of working with Gloria and, oh God, what was his name? Joe Gallison.
Oh.
Joe Gallison, and just a lot of really veteran actors. And, you know, I was really learning on the job, yeah, truly yeah. trial
and
by.
And then you got to YNR, got to work trial with by fire. Beth Mate.
Well, that was really yeah. the most impactful. But my point is that I didn't just blame Al for what happened. I had to take ownership as well. I was just way too cocksure at the time. This is happening. This is how it's supposed to happen. And I was just, you know, just overconfident, too cocksure. And I realized over the course of that 9 months how seriously I had to take it. And post the show, working with an acting coach, and Steve Wyman also, who was a director at Days, and a really good one, and somebody I connected with. And I worked with Steve on material, and really an actor's director,
wow.
not just a put the camera here and put the camera. Mm-hmm. So when that opportunity presented itself for YNR, I was certainly more prepared than I was previously. And luck is preparation meeting yep. opportunity,
yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
So I really wanted the job, and thankfully I got it. And Wes Kenny at that time was the executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
And Wes is kind of a man's man. No nonsense guy, athlete. Related to him that way, and I came out and I did my first scenes, and with Brenda Dixon.
Brenda
she,
Dixon.
She was quite a.
She's the welcome to my character. Home lady. She has those famous YouTube videos, I think, right? That
I don't know.
I think she's,
I don't know, but
she was a meme for us.
She was blowing smoke in my face during the screen test, and it was an experience. Anyway, I did my first scenes with her, and then there's a knock on my dressing room door as I'm leaving, and it was Wes who came to my dressing room and said, "Just want to come see you. Great first day. We got a long way to go, but great first day. Just stay focused on the work." And I was like, "Wow,
that's a good coach."
That was. Not overly, you know, not solicited, overly solicited, just great first day, let's stay focused and blah, blah, blah. And he was wonderful. He really learned a lot about, you know, I'd rather you be too big than be, you know, it's easier to bring you down. Just a lot of really good coaching that mm-hmm. I received from Wes in my first year. And Ed learned a lot from Wes And I had the absolute blessing of working with Beth Maitland. I don't know that I would be, here today, that I would have gone on to have a successful career without having that experience with Beth. She's a wonderful, wonderful actress, a wonderful person.
She's extraordinary.
Was so gracious with me. I just learned from her, and I encouraged her to coach me, and she did. And that makes me emotional. Me emotional. She was amazing. She was extraordinarily important to me in my career.
What about Peter Berman?
I was going to say, even Terry Lester, who was such a dick, such a fun, fine actor, but not kind. did not want to help me at all. Wow. But that was good. That was wonderful for me. Even that kind of adversity, even having to deal with that personality, was a tremendous benefit to me. Eric, Melody, a lot of these wonderful people that I were. And then Peter gets cast, and Peter's my boy.
We love Peter.
Peter's my boy. And I made it my business to remove the stick from Peter's ass
I'm sure he's going to love to hear that.
He's heard it before. It's not the first time. He's heard it before. Peter is enormously talented, needless to say. Talk about taking the craft very seriously.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
And, I may be guilty of in rehearsal of liking to clown a bit.
You're still a clown.
Yeah.
Clown a lot.
I like to clown a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Although a lot of stuff comes out of that, particularly working with Darren and Scott and my kids, that we find in rehearsal doing those things that appear to be just clowning, but we find a lot of stuff that we then put into the scene from Torsten as well.
This is on The Bold and the Beautiful. The show is on now.
The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yes.
Peter is in full go. Peter in rehearsal, is in full go. Yeah. And I respect that. I don't even mean that negatively.
Yeah, I know.
I totally respect it. But it was fun because it would really make me kind of go out of my way to break them.
and have a little fun. Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
And we worked together a lot.
Yeah.
And we did. And he is my brother. He is the best.
What do you think has been your greatest takeaway from being on these shows, the soap operas?
My greatest takeaway? Well, in high school, when I had some write-ups for sports in the paper, in the Times or in the different papers were, the Valley News, whatever they think things were at the time, my dad said, it's so funny. I remember we were, 4-20 pies on Laurel Canyon. And he said to me, it's great to read about yourself. Just don't ever, good or bad, take any of that to heart. Don't ever believe your own press clippings. Mm. And that made a big impression on me. And then my brother, as I mentioned, used to come to my appearances with me. So there'd be, at that time, it was crazy.
Sounds like he went quite a bit.
My brother went with me almost all the time.
Yeah.
And there would be, back in the day, right? So the golden age of what we do. And there would
weekends
be-
weekends up in Canada.
2,000. Canada, 5,000, 10,000. I mean, security, like the Beatles or Elvis is in the building. Not just me, I mean, any of us.
Right.
Crazy. And- my brother used to say, he'd say, listen, all the ass kissing is nice. It's fun, right? the police escort, the limit, the whole, it's fun. And you're a kid. When you're 22, that's very impactful. Mm-hmm. And he said, you always be kind to people. Don't ever take this stuff too seriously. It can go as quickly as it,
This was your dad or your brother?
That was my brother. But similar to what my dad had said. But my brother was with me experiencing that stuff, the appearances and, you know, how much that can swell your head. So what I guess take away from it is that I've been so blessed to have this career, which has been, I've been hired, I've been fired, right? I've been hired.
Welcome to the club.
The first, right, right. So it is really validating for what I teach my kids, which is that life is hard. It is, you know, things are going to, it's like there, I send the reel from Rocky, from Stallone talking to his son, and it basically saying life is very hard. It'll beat you down. It's not how many times you can get hit. It's not how many times you get hit. It's how many times you can get hit and keep getting up. And there's a lot of joy in life as well, but there is sorrow and there is pain and there is unexpected tragedy and all kinds of things. And you just got to keep, you've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, go through your process, but you just have to keep moving forward. And that's also why with my work, I do like, I mean, this isn't brain surgery, what we do, right? And what it's what we do is a blessing. No, it's not.
she is a doctor.
And I do like to have fun, but I say when the red light comes on, it's go time. And when you're working with Heather Tom, you, though you and I don't really,
we've only been in group scenes.
Right.
Yeah. So, lucky you.
Heather, which I will get to, by the way, remind me about Heather. But working with Heather Tom and working with Torsten and working with Kelly and just working and then Peter and Eric and all of these very strong, powerful actors over time, you better be ready to go. And it's no different in sports. You better be ready to go. And as much as people might perceive me, and that might be a mistake, as much fun as I like to have and as much clowning as I like to do, and I do, I take my work really seriously.
And I do.
And the protection of my character very seriously.
Okay, so talk to us about Heather Tom.
The greatest, makes me emotional. It's the greatest blessing in my professional life. Beth, at that point in my career, and then Heather later. You know, the story goes, which Heather always tells, is when she heard I was coming to B&B, and God bless Brad Bell after that Y&R, after being all of a sudden out of nowhere fired from Y&R, but whatever. that's a whole story into itself.
Okay.
Brad brings me over to B&B. And Heather hears, and there's a story in the middle of that, but I'm going to leave that. Heather hears I'm coming, and she is somewhere where she couldn't, she had to reach under the table and type, I want Don Diamont. So that to me is an Emmy. That to me, that Heather Tom, that I call the Heather Tom, wanting to work with me,
wow,
that was enormously flattering. And it is just such a gift. She is such a, talk about somebody who likes to have fun actually in rehearsal.
Yeah. and
joke and clown is, you learned that from Mel, I think.
all the Newmans.
Yeah, all the Newmans. So she's just the best person, the finest actress, just fun and funny and so talented, just amazing. And so it has just been my great privilege and joy to work opposite her all these years. And
hers as well too, I'm sure.
Well, I've let her speak to that. She said her job is to keep me from getting canceled.
Oh my God, that's
they did this beautiful, so sweet 40th anniversary, 40 years on CBS tribute. And Heather gets up to do her bit. And she said, you know, Donald has, strong sense of humor. And really, my most important job is to keep him from getting canceled. and I can't even argue. It's true.
You can't.
Well,
why Torsten won't come here. He's like, I'll get canceled.
I watched that. And my takeaway from that, in addition to, and I'm sure everyone watching this will know from this time we've spent with you, is just how loved you are, how just what a great father and actor and person you are, and that
Husband
too. But I watched that and it made me sort of sad for myself that we didn't have more crossover because we were together really, for a bit, but not long enough to really, because I think back to Eric and Peter and Mel and everyone and Eileen and all of these people that
I left out Eileen as well,
who's also incredible. But I'm also thrilled and happy for Darren and Heather and you and Scott and all these people who have gotten to be under your tutelage at Bold and Beautiful.
poor Scott, tutelage. Darren. Yeah. They are one, again, along with Heather, my sons, including my latest crew. Just, again, such wonderful people, such wonderful actors. I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
So fortunate.
We have a soapy hotline. We've got to get to those questions.
Yes.
I like this one. What would an interaction look like between Bill and Brad? Bill from
The Bold and Beautiful.
What's funny about that is that people say Brad, but a whole storyline was written where Brad was actually George Kaplan.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yes, yes, yes.
And George Kaplan was a trained killer, basically a Navy SEAL, and there's a whole thing.
The reliquary.
I know. And yet, what happened? What happened not long after that is all of the stories about the artifacts that were taken from the Jews during the Holocaust became a whole national, international thing.
Yeah.
Oddly, coincidentally enough, but that whole reliquary thing. Yes. Yeah, I know. What was the question?
Oh, what would an interaction?
Oh, the interaction with Brad and that would be, well, there's a couple of alpha male-ish guys. So I don't know if it's the Brad George Kaplan or if it's the Brad that Bill would be dealing with. But that would be a battle for sure.
It'd be a battle. Yeah. I think Bill Spencer would get the upper hand. Don't you?
Yeah. Well, he would not stop at nothing to get it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, he's got the wisdom and the maturity, right?
Don, you talk too much because I wanted to ask you more questions, but well, it'll go on forever. You'll be here till tomorrow.
My poor wife.
You know how much I love you. I want to ask you about what it felt like when you got cut from Y&R.
That was the day before Thanksgiving.
Rough.
Literally after 24, whatever it was, years. And kind of unceremoniously come upstairs. Herbie was directing the stage.
Oh, and
Herbie
had to say to me,
Steve Kent. I have another name for him, but.
I don't think we have to use our imagination too much.
He wanted to see you.
And Bill Jr. Yeah. And that's what
it's gonna be shocking.
I got one.
It was quite shocking because Bill, I have handwritten notes from Bill.
I know.
Y&R will always
and he was
be
like a father to you.
Yeah, he was very kind to me during my
Bill Bell Senior.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was amazing. Go ahead.
I was going to say I've had that phone call too. You know that call up to the office. Yeah, it's not great.
No, it's not great.
So have I.
Especially we were fathers at the time, and it's not a however.
Best thing that ever happened.
Yes, and you know who told me that on my last day there? We talked about it on here, was Eileen Davidson. Said, this is going to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. Seems like it's one of the best things that's ever happened to you.
Professionally, just about the.
Yeah.
Because I walked out of that office after that and looked down the hall at the Bold and Beautiful sign. Said, fuck it. I walked down the hall, went up to reception, and I said, hey, does Brad still happen to be here? He said, yeah, he is. I said, would you tell him Don Diamont's here? Talk to him a couple minutes if he has the time for me. And Brad was on the phone with Michael Menace and said, hey, Michael, Don Diamont just walked in. We're going to get him to leave Y&R and come join us over here. Hangs up with Michael. Sit down, Don. What's going on? What are you talking about? I said, well, your brother just fired me and I'm looking for a job. Literally.
I didn't know this was happening. I haven't gotten to that part.
Looking for a job. And he's like, got up, couldn't get off the floor fast. He's like, what? What are you talking about? You are a core character. You are, what? My character, Brad, was named after Brad Bell.
After Brad Bell.
Oh.
And we talked about that. And he said, well, let me, after the holiday, let me confirm that they're killing, actually, you know, killing the character. And he called him out. He said, yeah, they are committed to it. And, you know, a couple, few months later, Brad said, well, let me see what I can come up with. And he created Bill Spencer for me, Jr.
Brad tells, at your 40th anniversary, Brad tells this funny story about when he heard that there was going to be a namesake character for him on The Young and the Restless, and they all sat around the TV when you made your debut, and he couldn't read it. And then you come on screen, he's like, is this how you see me?
He's like, this is great. That was so funny.
It's a great story.
Oh, that was the whole, so funny.
See, now I wish I'd known that story, because when I had my call up to the office, I should have just walked across the hall like you did and maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
I know. Been different. Wow.
But hey, it all works out the way it does.
Brad is a champion. Brad was my champion. And I am forever grateful to his father and his mother, who were always just amazing to me.
Wish I had known them, because he's just such, I mean, both Laura Lee, I don't know Bill, but I know Laura Lee and Brad are just salt of the earth.
Great family.
Yeah.
Okay. Will you come back and see us again? Because we just started to scratch the surface. And wait.
Come back and talk
some more. I said, how much time you got?
When was this published?
2018.
Yes.
All right. So we need the second.
No.
You're done with writing. There's a ghost. Not in your future.
There's a ghostwriter waiting by the phone right now. He's been waiting for you to call.
Writing is not in your future.
You write it. I'll read and see if I
okay. Someday we should write a book together.
I'll make corrections.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right. You're the greatest. Thank you for being with us.
You guys are wonderful. Thanks. Congratulations on
thanks.
This.
Yeah. It's fun amazing. To celebrate all the great work we get to do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can watch this fine gentleman on The Bold and Beautiful weekdays on CBS. You can stream Bold and Beautiful on the Paramount Plus app, and you can just watch any episode you want on BNB TV. Am I saying that?
Yeah.
Right?
BBTV.
BBTV.
BBTV app, yeah.
And you can watch this episode as well as any other episodes of Soapy that you may have missed on the CBS YouTube channel, or listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being with us. And we'll see you guys next time. Yeah.